I wonder if it'll snow this Christmas, mused Jenny, lifting the lid of the casserole that she had just taken from the oven. With the pointed end of a knife, she gently tested a piece of lamb to see if it was cooked. It would certainly please the children if it does snow, replied Winnie, looking out of the window again. But I have to admit I'd be perfectly happy if it didn't. It makes such a mess of the church. We shall no doubt have spent hours cleaning when everyone tramps in with snowy boots. She turned from the window and sniffed the air appreciatively. My goodness, that does smell good, Jenny. What a treasure you are. Jenny beamed. She had been a little worried about Winnie a few weeks ago, when the old lady had had to spend several days in bed with a nasty bronchial chest. But that seemed to have gone now, and it was comforting to see her in such good spirits. Winnie Bailey's house was the tallest on the green, standing on the east side of the large expanse of grass which was the hub of the village. Next door lived Frank and Phillida Hurst, in a cottage called Tulliver's. Phil Pryor, as she had been then, had bought it for herself and her young son Jeremy. To ensure that she could give as much time as possible to the boy, she was estranged from her husband at the time, Phil was anxious to have a job she could do from home. She had always had a good ear for words and so tried her hand at writing short stories. She had been delighted when first one and then more stories were accepted by a London magazine. She was a most attractive woman, and her solitary state caused not only a good deal of sympathy from the residents of Thrush Green, but also a few male hearts to flutter. Phil's settled life was suddenly shattered when news came through that her absent husband had been killed in a car crash. Everyone in Thrush Green rallied round, and Phil was always grateful to them for their kindness. But it was not a local man who won Phil's heart, but Frank Hurst, the editor of the magazine that was publishing her stories. When they married, the whole village wished them the happiness they deserved. Frank and Phil were now in their sitting room, each with a diary open on their knees. A fire burned in the little hearth, and occasionally a gust of the strong wind outside would rattle down the chimney and make the flames dance. The problem with giving a drinks party, said Phil, flicking through the pages of her diary, is that one has to find a day when no one else is. At least, Frank replied, looking up at his pretty wife, no one who is going to invite the same people as us. Phil giggled. Yes, I don't expect we'll clash with any parties that take place in the Woodstock Road. Now, now, reproved her husband, but he was smiling too. The lane down the east side of Thrush Green, past Winnie Bailey's house and Tulliver's, ran into the Woodstock Road, in due course reaching that attractive little town, and further on, interesting places such as Stratford-upon-Avon. As with all Cotswold villages, planning regulations were very strict within the designated conservation areas. However, the authorities were less demanding further out, and, as everyone grudgingly accepted, new homes had to be built. The houses in the Woodstock Road nearest the green were mostly ones built between the wars, but further out they were newer. An occasional turning would lead off the Woodstock Road into a modern close, where once there had been fields with contented cows chewing the cud, wildflowers for children to pick, and butterflies to chase with nets. Now, there was just a spread of look-alike houses. It wasn't that the people who lived here weren't friendly, it's just that they didn't really involve themselves in Thrush Green activities. We haven't received any invitations yet, said Phil, looking at the mantelpiece. At least, nothing that would clash with a drinks party. If we are going to go to that charity concert in Lulling, we should do something about the tickets now.
Well, you go if you want, said her husband. But personally, I'm not too good on string quartets. It's the wrong time of year for that sort of music. I think good rousing Christmas oratorios are the right kind of music for the festive season.
I agree, said Phil, and she got to her feet, removed the invitation from the mantelpiece, and put it on the fire. There might be a performance of the...